Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
I'm so happy you guys are still alive.
I am excited.
I am so happy.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
Ooh.
Gonna be a good day with DA.
Hey, Doc.
I do love the Doc.
Happy being alive day.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Gonna have a good day around here. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. You got thoughts on week one of the NFL? 855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. In that brand new open, you heard the laughter of our friend Little Mo. And yesterday was such an amazing moment. It was such an amazing moment. I woke up yesterday and we did Sunday morning football, which now is into its, I think, sixth or seventh year, actually. I think I said 5 years last week. I think it's longer than that, but 10 until noon Eastern time each and every week. We break down what happened in college football on Saturday and then preview NFL Sunday. And so I'm usually up really early on a Sunday, cobbling together some stories and some thoughts and reading stuff on the internet and scrolling through my timeline. And I awoke to media members arriving, well, actually having posted last week, stories about Little Mo and how there was going to be a section of Little Mo cutouts at the home of the Ravens, M&T Bank Stadium. And so yesterday morning, I'm sifting through these pictures and I'm just getting such a kick out of it to see Mo's Rose. And we talked about this last week on the show, that Little Mo, through a fan project down in Baltimore, had bought up the fans at $65 a pop, nearly 600 seats to feature Little Mo's cutout. And they're called Mo's Rose. And they're in the corner of the end zone, a lower bowl extending into a little bit of the next bowl. And it is just so awesome. And so yesterday morning, as media were arriving at M&T Bank Stadium, they were taking pictures of Mo's Rose as well. And through this, it gave me such a smile yesterday. And if you follow me on Twitter or on Instagram for my feel-good moment of the day in honor of Little Mo, it had to be this. It had to be pictures of Little Mo and his mom, Sanzi, arriving at the stadium and seeing all the cutouts of our friend Little Mo, who passed away over the summer from cancer and had battled cancer for all 14 years that he was on Earth. But another thing, I mean, really touched me. And I got to be careful not to get too emotional here, because when I talked about it with the Bourbon Bell yesterday, I had to clutch myself a little bit. But the Baltimore Ravens did one of the coolest things I have ever seen in a football field. In the end zone, Of course, it says Baltimore. Big, huge, stylistic letters. And the M-O highlighted. And so if you see an above shot, an aerial shot, or just look at the entire end zone from a little bit afar, M-O is highlighted differently. And last week, they had Sonzi, Little Mo's mom, come to the stadium, see the cutouts, and then help paint the border on the M and the O. And it's going to be there all season long. All season, the Ravens end zone is going to say Mo. In huge, beautiful black and purple and gold. It was just one of the coolest things ever. And it is just such a reminder that he inspires us all and inspires us to this day. He doesn't have to be here actually on earth to inspire us and to remind us to be better and to be kinder and to be gentler and to be happier and to treat other people well. We don't do that a lot right now. We're all at each other's throats. Politically, we don't have that type of unity right now. We are kind of being taught by cable news and politicians to be at each other's throats. But Little Mo reminds us that's not the way to go. The way to go is unity. The way to go is happiness. The way to go is to treat other people well. And to see Mo's name in the end zone was just one of the coolest things ever yesterday. Bravo to the Ravens. Bravo to the Ravens. Bravo to all the fans down in Baltimore that bought all those Little Mo cutouts. Couldn't be prouder. And I posted a lot of that on my Instagram account yesterday. So if you want to check out photos of that, you can follow me there at Damon Amendo. You can follow me there. And every single day I'm posting something that makes me smile in honor of Little Mo. That's my good mojo, if you will. Because I think we could all use it. I know I could use it. And I want to carry Little Mo's thoughts and reminders with me and to you guys, the audience, every single day. And so what a cool day it was yesterday to see all of that. And next Monday here on the show, we're going to do something special and new for Little Mo. We're going to take stories, people, teams, coaches, players, parents, whatever it is in sports, the people that are really inspirational, and we're going to highlight them on the show. And we're going to give them a bit of a Little Mo nod. Momentous Monday. And I want to honor those that are really doing amazing inspirational things in sports and remind us that there's people every day doing great things. You know, we should remember them and not just remember all of the craziness that is happening, the chaos that is happening around us every single day in the news, but instead remind us that humans are amazing. Americans can be amazing, and we just got to remember and highlight those type of people. So we'll do a Momentous Monday next Monday and from every Monday here on out in honor of my friend. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Man, that Aaron Rodgers, he's still pretty good. Let's roll tape.
Snap, a route going deep down the right sideline. MVS has it to the end zone for the touchdown. Oh, what a play. He took it away from Cameron Danzler. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 45-yard touchdown reception.
I was pretty calm this week, I think, at times. I think he probably saw some fire this week in practice. I wanted to bring the energy and let the guys know this was an amp up time.
That was Packers radio on the call. Aaron Rodgers after his big performance, and the Packers scored 43 points yesterday, ripping through a very good Vikings defense. Oh, you know, Aaron Rodgers, 32 of 44 for 364. No interceptions. Yep, you know, the Packers scored their most points ever in a season opener at 43. I guess he's toast. I guess it's over. I guess that Aaron Rodgers needs to be replaced, huh? I mean, here is what is amazing about the Jordan Love selection. It's that the Green Bay Packers decided against giving Aaron Rodgers more help this year. You can believe that Rodgers won't have many more days like this at his age, and you can believe that Jordan Love is a crazy talent and you couldn't pass him up, and that the Packers are just doing to Rodgers what they did to Brett Favre, and that is replace him before it gets ugly and old, and it's just smart business and all of that. Fine. But by virtue of selecting Jordan Love in the first round of the draft, they ignored giving Aaron Rodgers more help to win a Super Bowl now. And that was my biggest problem with it. It'll always be my biggest problem with that draft pick. Number one, I don't love Jordan Love as a player, but that's beside the point because I've been wrong on many draft picks before. What I didn't like at all was taking an Aaron Rodgers who is in his still in a window of playing elite football and not giving him a first round talent either on offense or defense to win now. How many NFL teams have an Aaron Rodgers caliber quarterback at the moment? The Kansas City Chiefs do. The Seattle Seahawks do. Maybe you could argue the Baltimore Ravens do. I mean, the list is really short. I think that Aaron Rodgers is proving he's better than Tom Brady at the moment. Why wouldn't he be? He's younger. I think you could say that he's better than Drew Brees right now. Why wouldn't he be? He's younger. I mean, the list of quarterbacks that he is not better than is three deep, two deep. So he's still a top five quarterback in the NFL. And on days like yesterday, he looks like he's one of the two or three best. And you didn't give him any help this year from a first round draft pick. And first rounders in the NFL are expected to be Pro Bowl caliber players. They don't always become that, but that is the intent when you draft a guy in the first round. He's going to be a Pro Bowler for this team. And the Packers decided against that. Once upon a time, the New England Patriots ruffled the feathers of Tom Brady by drafting Jimmy Garoppolo well before Tom Brady was ready to retire. And Tom Brady went on a revenge tour for himself where he went back to the Super Bowl and went back to multiple Super Bowls and won a championship and told the Patriots, screw you. You should have never counted me out. And maybe the Packers get that, and that right there would be the best case scenario for the Packers having drafted Jordan Love, is that you just flipped the switch inside an all-time great. And now, just like Tom Brady telling Jimmy Garoppolo, you wait your turn, son. Still my team, my job, and I am not giving it up. Best case scenario is that Aaron Rodgers right now goes on a wild revenge tour and shoves it right in the face of his doubters, including those in the front office and maybe his head coach, and takes the Packers to the Super Bowl. Because aside from that, I still don't understand how it made sense to ignore helping Aaron Rodgers now. Could have been on defense. Didn't have to be on offense. Could have been a receiver. That would have been great. Could have been the offensive line. Would have been great. Could have been a pass rusher. Would have been great. Could have been a linebacker, a safety, a corner. Could have been anywhere. The Packers decided we're going to spend a first-round draft pick on a guy that will not be on the field at the same time that Aaron Rodgers is on the field. And won't be in a game if Aaron Rodgers is playing. Didn't like it then. Don't like it now. Loved what I saw from Aaron Rodgers yesterday, scintillating and scorching the Vikings. 43 points is more than the Packers have ever put up on opening day. 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and, oh, I don't know, played flawless quarterback. Not bad. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. A lot to get to this morning here on the DA Show. When we return, we've got your best audio of the day. And when you look at this, there's a couple of football nuggets I want to get to. Number one, the 49ers losing to the Cardinals yesterday, and Baker Mayfield and the Browns looking like garbaggio once again in an opener. We'll do that coming up here next, plus a crazy game six in the Western Conference playoffs yesterday. Soundcheck next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Remember, you can watch us at watchda.com every single day. Watch us on your phone or your tablet, your PC, your laptop, watchda.com. Watch us inside the Twitch app as well. Check out Twitch or however you use Twitch for gaming purposes, and just go to the CBS Sports Radio channel. Or watch us inside the radio.com app every single morning. The Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, pulling levers, pressing buttons, and making it sing. Let's hear from Jimmy Garoppolo as part of Soundcheck, who after a disappointing performance against the Cardinals yesterday says no fans in attendance hurt the vibes, man.
Obviously, it was a little different today without the crowd. Just that feel, that game day feel, was it just wasn't there. But, you know, it just comes down to execution, like I said, especially when it comes in the last couple minutes like that. Every play's crucial, every yard's crucial, and just we didn't execute when we needed to.
I think most people ignored this game to watch the big one between Breeze and Brady, the Buccaneers and the Saints. But this is a very disappointing start to the 49ers' supposed defense of their NFC championship. And watch out for the Cardinals. They didn't light the world on fire offensively, but Kyler Murray had 91 yards rushing to go along with 230 yards passing. So all combined, you had about 320 yards put up of offense by their quarterback. And you think that maybe the Texans and Deshaun Watson might miss DeAndre Hopkins this year? All he did yesterday was 14 catches for 151 yards against the best defense in the NFC, one of the best defenses in the NFC on the road. Raz, watch out, because that Niners run last year was golden, Super Bowl, all of that. But I got a feeling we're in for a reboot year a little bit where they kind of come back to earth for the Niners after all their success last season.
It seems like it's becoming an annual rite of passage. You lose in the Super Bowl, the next year you come back crashing back to earth. There's something about not winning that game. Look at the Rams at 9-7 just a year ago. Not making the playoffs either after their year away from the Super Bowl. I would be very concerned in what looks like it could be the toughest division in football if I'm the 49ers after week one.
Also, I mean, not to be overlooked is what the Bay Area is dealing with right now in terms of wildfires and dealing with in terms of air quality, and ash is falling. And I mean, the sky is apocalyptic right now in the Bay Area and the Pacific Northwest. And we have very many affiliates in Washington and Oregon and Northern California that are dealing with this. So our thoughts are with you guys, because every video, every picture, every news story, it is unbelievable to see what's supposed to be bright sunshine in the middle of the day looking orange or red or gray. And, you know, in the Bay Area, there's a lot of families right now that are affected by this. And I wonder how the Niners are affected by all of this. But the Cardinals also, Mraz, you know, we knew coming into the season they were going to be plucky. They were plucky last year. You add, though, DeAndre Hopkins. You add Isaiah Simmons to the draft. And I thought, you know, going into yesterday, even if they didn't win this game, I think that the Cardinals are going to be a tough out all season long.
Yeah, and they were trendy by a lot of people. They kind of felt like a Browns light from a year ago, where everybody was on the Browns last year. People love the Cardinals this year, and I think a lot of that has to do with what we saw yesterday. Was on top of adding DeAndre Hopkins, when you draft Kyler Murray first overall, year two is the year it's supposed to click for you. So this should not be some kind of 6-10 Cardinals expectation year. When you draft Kyler Murray in that spot, this should be the year where he takes off and flies in year two, and you should be real competitive for a playoff spot.
Cardinals trending up. The Browns, I mean, what do you do? What do you do with the Cleveland Browns? The more things change, the more they stay the same. The Browns absolutely crushed yesterday by the Baltimore Ravens, never in the game. Baker Mayfield playing poorly. And here is Baker after a week one loss.
Sometimes a wake-up call is pretty good for everybody. A nice punch in the mouth, and that's how we should take it. We should, not dwell on it. Realize that we just got beat today. They played better than us. Look at it and get better, move on, and go play the Bengals. That's all we can do.
I mean, I hate to parse a guy's words unfairly here, but a wake-up call? What are you waking up from? It's week one. You haven't made the playoffs since 2003. What exactly was the wake-up call? Last year, you were the trendy pick to win the division and maybe make a Super Bowl run, and you fell flat on your face, and everybody got fired. What exactly did you need to wake up from? Like, is Baker Mayfield suggesting that the Browns still think they're better than they are? What would it take at this point in time to get the Browns to recalibrate their expectations of themselves? Sometimes you need a wake-up call? What exactly? The Ravens just won the division by like 7 games last year. What exactly did the Browns think going into yesterday, that they were as good as the one seed of the AFC with an MVP at quarterback? Mayfield threw for less than 200 yards. The passing game was a disaster. The Ravens just ripped through. It was 24-6 by halftime. It was non-competitive by halftime. Lamar Jackson went for 275, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and only had 5 incompletions. Whereas, what exactly is Baker Mayfield thinking that his team needed to wake up from?
DA, in my book, a wake-up call is maybe you got off to a 3-0 start or something like that. In week 4, you get your doors blown off and you realize, oh, it's a wake-up call. Maybe we weren't as good as we were the first 3 games.
Right.
We need to grind at work. A wake-up call can't be we get off the bus in Baltimore for week 1 and are uncompetitive and go, well, this really woke us up. Again, you had all summer, and you stunk last year with expectations, and all we heard about was you grinding the work. What is the wake-up about? How about wake up and realize the trade for Odell might have been a freaking disaster, and you guys stink?
I know that Odell finished with 0 catches. Oh, no, he had 3 catches, actually. Okay, yeah. So I take that back.
I know he had 3 catches because in my fantasy team, he had exactly 3 points over the 3 catches he had because they went nowhere, too.
I mean, he had 3 catches for 22 yards. What is going on? And I like Kevin Stefanski, and I think that he's a better solution than a lot of the other bozo coaches. But could you imagine leading this team into yesterday's game and not hammering them to, like, be humble and grounded and not take anything for granted and not think that you're too good? I mean, this has been a dumpster fire for nearly 20 years. Could you imagine a roster that thinks they're better than they are still? I mean, Baker Mayfield, is he part of the solution or part of the problem? Because if he's got a roster that thinks they're too good, then as a leader, he's not doing it right either, wouldn't you say?
I agree. But you know what? When you're filming so many commercials, when you're still living at the stupid stadium and we can't change that bit, I don't know how much leading you've been focusing on in the offseason. And maybe we were wrong about the Jaguar or all these other teams. Maybe it's the Browns who are looking for Trevor Lawrence at the end of the year. Baker Mayfield, get his ass out.
Oh, so you're thinking maybe the Browns will be so bad that they draft Trevor Lawrence and trade Baker Mayfield.
I mean, I don't want to be Mr. Overreactionary to week one, but is it that outrageous? They couldn't compete on the field yesterday. In a day, by the way, where everybody at least competed somewhat. The games were pretty much tied, or teams had chances somewhat. The Browns were disqualified from a win in the first quarter. Is it that outrageous to think they're going to be that bad this year? They're the Cleveland Browns.
I'll tell you. Washington was down 17-0, came back to win. The Lions held a late lead, which we'll discuss, but, you know, they looked pretty good for 3 quarters. Mitchell Trubisky, of all people, came to life yesterday. The Jaguars got a win. There was a lot of teams that could have looked like absolute trash yesterday that came out with victories, and the Browns laid that egg. I mean, I would say that coming out of week one, the Browns are the have to be number 32 in a power rankings, right?
Yes, yes. So, and think about it. If you're that bad all year, you want to talk about wake your ass up, Baker Mayfield, because you've got to put the team on your back, or they're drafting your successor, and you're going to be twiddling your thumbs like you're Nate Peterman behind freaking Derek Carr with the Raiders or something.
I got Peterman. And finally, here's Michael Malone, the Nuggets head coach. After the Nuggets fall behind again, this happened in game number 5. They came roaring back to beat the Clippers. Clippers were up 3-1 in this series. Clippers had, I think, a 16 or 19 point lead in game number 5. Nuggets came all the way back and forced a game 6. Same thing happened yesterday where they were down double digits and came roaring back to win. And now they force a game number 7. And the Nuggets, with a win, would have come back from down 3-1 in back series. Here's their head coach.
We still have those same goals. Like we've never lost sight of that. 4 months during the hiatus, coming back into the bubble, trying to get healthy. We've always felt that we were good enough. No one else does. But we don't care about it. We don't listen to the noise.
Look, I have all the admiration of the world for the Nuggets, feeling like, you know what, we're never out of it. They played so many Game 7s over the last 2 postseasons. In fact, they played 4 consecutive Game 7s. So they're fighters, they're survivors, and they pushed another series that they were down 3-1 into a Game 7. They won the last one against the Jazz in the last round. But the Clippers need to also get a wake-up call here, because the Clippers have been good enough to have 16, 17, 18, 19-point leads in closeout games and can't close out. That's a real problem for the Clippers, and for a Clippers team that has designs in its own championship. You know, if you blow 19-point leads to the Denver Nuggets in these types of games to force a Game 7, I don't trust you against LeBron and AD and the Los Angeles Lakers. They need to get their heads out of their keisters. And that is your sound check this morning. Robin Topeka tweets, what Baker Mayfield meant to say was wake up call. He needs another visit to the Cheesecake Factory parking lot.
Baker Mayfield.
VGK tweets, Baker Mazel looked terrible. Aaron Rodgers is the early MVP.
I mean, could we relax on MVP stuff after 1 week?
Well, maybe. Rodgers was all awesome, but you could also say that Russell Wilson actually is the MVP leader, because for as great as Rodgers was, I think statistically in terms of efficiency, Russell Wilson was damn near perfect, I think.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I would figure you'd be waving the flag for Cam Newton, how he's going to win the MVP this year.
I don't need to. I just need the Patriots to be like 8-8, and then I get to throw 12 dodgeballs at you.
The biggest thing you have going for yourself right now is you already have 2 of the top 3 teams picking in the draft, and that's the Jets and the Browns. So it only leaves you 1 slot.
Standing by with our headline this morning is a kind sir. His name is Andrew Bogish. Bogues, good morning.
DA, hello again. So Philip Rivers introduced himself to the Colts yesterday, picked off with 4.5 minutes left, helping seal a 27-20 loss in Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew went 19-20, 173 yards and 3 touchdowns. And the Bengals introduced themselves to their new QB, Joe Burrow.
Bullet 2-for-2 so far today. The snap is good. The kick is wide right.
Oh,
he missed it. And the Chargers hold on to the lead with 2 seconds to go. And Bullock is hurt.
Bengals radio working from the Cubs broadcast booth. Burrow and the Bungles losing 16-13 to the Chargers instead of heading to overtime. Burrow finished 23-36, 196 yards, a pick, and a rushing score in his debut. He almost threw the game-winning touchdown before Bullock's miss and then leg amputation, but A.J. Green's catch was negated by offensive pass interference in the front corner of the end zone.
I'm being serious. Did we get confirmation? Was he actually hurt, or is that something I do? You know, when I screw something up as a bruiser, I just grab something and fake an injury. You can't blame me. My hamstring's blown out. I mean, I lost. I hate to laugh at somebody's injury, but there's no way he really got hurt, right?
I mean, I didn't see anything in the game story. I haven't gotten a note from the Bengals confirming an injury, so I mean, my hope is he's not faking it, but I would have done the exact same thing. Like, oh, I twisted my ankle. That sucks.
And the biggest other thing I took away from that is you just brought in Joe Burrow trying to change culture. How is Randy Bullock still your kicker in Cincinnati? How is Randy Bullock getting shot? The guy has sucked for 6 years.
And he's just getting rounder, too. There's a lot of Randy Bullock missing that kick yesterday.
And it was just such a chip shot, too, right? It was a was it a 31-yarder? A 31-yarder. 31 to tie things up with 5 seconds to play, just to force overtime, and he yanks it and then immediately starts holding his hand. Oh, my leg. Oh, my leg.
Who shot me?
Who shot me?
Oh, he missed it.
Get that license plate.
The Chargers hold on to the lead.
I mentioned that OPI against A.J. Green, a big flag for that late last night in L.A. The Cowboys were driving for at least the tying points, but Michael Gallup got called for pushing off on Jalen Ramsey instead of making a 47-yard catch. So the Rams opened SoFi Stadium with a 2017 escape from those Cowboys. Cam Newton opened his Patriots tenure with a 21-11 victory over the Dolphins. Cam scored twice on the ground. Tom Brady accounted for 3 touchdowns, 2 throwing, 1 running, but also picked off twice. Janoris Jenkins returned number 2 for points. His Saints eventually beat Brady's Bucks 34-23. The Bills fought off the Jets 27-17. Josh Allen throwing for 312 yards and 2 scores. He ran one in as well. That's the Bills' first 300-yard game since Tyrod Taylor on Christmas Eve in 2016. And the Raiders outscored the Panthers yesterday 34-30. Josh Jacobs' 3rd score was the difference. It came with 4:08 to play. Your traditional Monday night doubleheader is Giants Steelers, then Broncos Titans.
Also,
the first kickoff.
Part of this is Fowler and Herbstreet calling
that
one
is
of these.
Which one? Yep, they got the first.
Which game are they getting?
Giants Steelers.
Yep.
So we got Fowler Herbstreet on one Monday night game, which replaces what Mike and Mike did one of these once or twice. Yeah. Berman used to do a few of these.
Then whoever was with Sergio Dipp that 1 year, too.
Then there was the Steve Levy team that did them as well, and now the Steve Levy team is the main team. And so that means that Fowler and Herbstreet are getting the first game, and then the Steve Levy team's getting the second game. I mean, this should be an interesting night of broadcasting.
This is the NFL.
We go from the NFL to the NBA. We've already discussed this more than once this morning. While they were playing football, the Nuggets were making that comeback.
High left side is Jamal Murray. Gets a high pick from Torrey Craig. Through the window on the pick and roll. Kick out Harris over to Joker for 3. Money! Let's go! Timeout, Doc Rivers.
Oh, that's Jason Kosmicki.
That was so
on Nuggets
Mraz
Radio.
After a Giants touchdown.
Let's go! 5 beers in.
That was definitely the site of Bob's Bar yesterday when Bob saw the New York Post. Let's go!
5 a.m. in the morning.
Denver was down 19 with 10 minutes left in the 3rd quarter yesterday. They won Game 6, 111-98. They pushed the Clippers to Game 7, which is tomorrow night, which means that Game 1 of the conference final with the Lakers is not until Friday.
Pause right there. Who else knew that Game 6 is going on during the 1 o'clock NFL games? I'm watching Red Zone. I'm watching the full NFL games. I had just gotten done with Sunday morning football. I had run out to the grocery store to get some football food. And then I'm like, wait a second. There's an NBA game on right now? Mraz, you knew this?
I only knew because my buddy Connor was with me and bet the game as part of an NFL parlay,
okay.
And you should have seen my dad's face when he asked for one of the TVs to switch over and check the NBA game. It was like my dad was going to have a heart attack. What are you talking about the NBA right now? It's an NFL Sunday. He went nuts.
So Bob and West Babylon wasn't having Nuggets Clippers on an NFL Sunday.
No. We got the Colts in knockout pool here. We put on the Nuggets.
AB, did you know that they were playing yesterday?
Only because something alerted me to the Islanders playing at 3 o'clock during the middle of football. I went, oh, there's an NBA game. What time is that on? So I looked it up and saw 1 p.m. Went, that's not much better than 3. So I knew they were playing, but not until about 10 a.m. yesterday that I know that it was coming up at 1 o'clock during the day.
So inevitably, the NBA definitely didn't want to go against Sunday night football. and they definitely didn't want to go against Brady versus Breeze in the 4 o'clock Eastern window. So they absolutely tried to play this as early as possible. Honestly, I would have tried to play it at noon. I would have said, get this out of the way as early as possible, because timing it up with the 1 o'clock NFL games, what's their TV number, Mraz, going to be like? When they look at that after yesterday.
It's awful. To me, if you're the NBA or the NHL, I think you almost just punt on the idea that you're going to win a battle with the NFL, and you just more look at the market you're on, right? The Broncos play tonight, so you don't have to worry about that Denver market. In L.A., they had a Sunday night game with the Rams, and not that they care about the Chargers, but the Chargers were at 4:25 Eastern, so that was the only time to play it where at least if you cared about an L.A. number for the NBA and they care about football, that time was the only time to play it and get it out of the way.
Hmm. All right. A.B., was there anything else?
Mike D'Antoni not coming back as Rockets head coach, and Big Ten presidents and chancellors yet to vote again on playing football next month. That could happen as early as today. The decision makers met yesterday, got new medical protocols that were not available to them in August when they called off fall sports. Yahoo Sports says some schools optimistic enough that they are now creating practice schedules ahead of games in October. And Chicago Cubs running Alec Mills no-hit the Brewers yesterday in Milwaukee. The Cubs won the game 12-0. DA, back to you.
So a note on that Big Ten decision. I think they're going to vote yes here. I don't know why you would reconvene for a vote and then vote no again. They must feel like they're going to change their tact here, because why else would you need a revote? So I think they're going to vote yes. And honestly, it just goes back to, why would you have made that decision back in August? I didn't understand it at the time. I still don't understand it. At the time, I said, it's okay if we get to September and October and you simply cannot play the season and you feel like it's out of our hands. But don't make that decision before you have to make that decision. And making it in August was always really problematic. I mean, it just didn't really make any sense. And I said, reassess September 1, reassess September 15, reassess October 1. And if you get to those dates and the benchmarks aren't cleared and you're like, we can't pull this off, that's fine. You punt on it. But making that call in August, when life is spinning so quickly these days and things change by the hour, never made any sense. And now I think the Big Ten is realizing that. We've called this thing too early. This Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader, with the early games highlighted by an NFC matchup between the Giants and the Bears, along with the Broncos squaring off with the Steelers. Then in Game 2, Mahomes and the Chiefs face the Chargers. The Ravens also take on the Texans. It all starts with the JB and the Guys crew on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Sunday on CBS. When we come back here on the DA Show, we've got Canadian bacon, the day that was in the Stanley Cup playoffs, as Mraz does his one-liners for the crowd. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The sizzle of the best goals. The saltiness of the best games.
He's without a stick. He makes another save. And still another save. And play is stopped.
We crave the nightly action in Edmonton and Toronto of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's a hockey, you know. It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
It's only a hockey.
Only one game yesterday, the Lightning and the Islanders. In the game number 4, Mraz, take it away.
If a tree falls in the forest, does it make a noise? You're about to find out with the NHL playing a game at 3 o'clock on an NFL Sunday. The Lightning led the Eastern Conference Final 2-1, and they led game 4 2-1 entering the third period. But for Tampa sports fans, it wasn't Brady that delivered Sunday. It was Braden.
Across the Islanders line. Left circle block. Shooting. Holds. Centers at point. A shot. Score! Braden Point! Huge goal! 3-1 Lightning with 16:27 left.
Dave Michigan, the Lightning Radio Network. Yes, Braden was on point. Their leading scorer inside the bubble delivered a knockout blow to the Islanders as the Lightning took a 3-1 lead. Later, they would add an empty netter and make it 4-1. And in Tampa, if you forgot about Dre, the Lightning refreshed your memory as Andre Palat had an enormous tie-breaking goal earlier in the game. And Andre Vasilevsky in net made 26 saves to again be a stonewall for the Lightning.
All right, better than Jabor didn't squeal.
Yeah, we're on the verge of a cup here. I'm trying to be a little more serious, but we're not done here.
The early one, the tree fell in the forest. That was a good one.
Okay, I appreciate it. Soundbite of the day, though. After the game, the Islanders' fairy tale season seemed to be unraveling. Baker Mayfield was talking wake-up calls. His non-related brother, Scott Mayfield of the Islanders, was he doing the same?
I think you become more desperate. It's an elimination game, so it changes a little bit. But you're always focused on winning. You go out there just to win, and, you know, we need to win the next one.
Scott.
Non-related brother?
Yeah. Well, Mayfield. You get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Scott. We'll wait for this one. Scott knows their margin for error is as thin as a roll of Scott's. One more loss for the Islanders, and the binge eating at Kids Eat Free restaurants for Islander fans out of sadness will commence. The Lightning have not been to a Stanley Cup since they lost to the Blackhawks back in 2015. They are one win away, and that is your Canadian bacon.
So you got both conference finals are down to 3-1.
Yes.
Dallas leads 3-1 over Vegas. They've got Game 5 tonight. Lightning lead 3-1 over the Islanders. So both these series could be over relatively quickly, which would lead to the ratings bonanza for the NHL of Lightning Stars in the Stanley Cup final coming up against the NFL.
Get ready.
Imagine telling Gordie Howe in 1974 about a Lightning Stars Stanley Cup final.
I'm going to really have to get familiar with these Stars uniforms watching them in the Stanley Cup
Did
final.
Did you know they've had them for a little bit, D.A.? It's going to be incredible.
Okay, let's talk uniforms.
Name a Dallas Star, by the way.
What's that?
Forget their uniform. Do you know a Dallas Star player at this point?
Well, Modano's still playing, right?
Yes. Good point. Yes. Forgot about him. Darian Hatcher is still there, too.
So let's talk a little uniforms here. Yesterday, we saw the Browns go back to the original Browns uniforms. To me, huge, huge, huge win. They looked crisp. They looked clean. They played like dog poo, but they looked amazing in doing so. Do we all agree here that the Browns going back to those uniforms was the right move?
Absolutely. If you're going to play like Brown, you better look like Brown, and that's what the Browns look like to me.
Okay. AB, you liked them?
I do. I actually do miss the all-Brown getup or the all-white. Those might be my favorite alternatives of the Browns setup, but yes, going back to basically normal is a win.
Let's talk about the Chargers. They went throwbacks as well. They had very bright yellow pants. These are throwbacks to like the 60s and early 70s Chargers days. I thought the yellow on the pants was a little too bright. If you go back and you look at pictures or football cards or whatever of the Chargers in the 60s and early 70s, it's more of a yellow that's kind of like toned down, a little mustardy. This was really, really yellow. But aside from that, I thought the uniforms worked. I thought the throwbacks worked. What'd you guys think?
I personally thought they popped, but the only difference is I would prefer a little more mud and grass feel so they can get kind of the grass stains and muddy up that bright yellow a little bit. Playing on turf is going to make them like a lightning bolt the whole time.
Little lightning buggish, yes.
Yes.
But overall, pretty good win, AB?
Yeah, I thought they would look beautiful. Might have been my favorite of the whole weekend.
Okay. The Falcons debuted their new ones, and those were different. They did an all-black ensemble with the red stripe down the side, which connected both the pants and the jerseys. I thought it was a push. I didn't really love their old ones. I don't love their new ones. I think it's such a shame that they don't just go back to the Dirty Birds, or even before that, the Deion Sanders ones. To me, you might as well just go back to some of your awesome, awesome threads, because you used to have some of the best uniforms in football. This was a push for me compared to the old ones. Mraz, where'd you stand?
They're in uniform purgatory right now. They just can't figure this out. Get them out.
You didn't like them. What didn't you like about them?
I did for a new uniform, they're stuck in the middle between. They're so awful that you just laugh at them, and they're nowhere near clean and nice that it was just like I looked at it. That was my feeling.
AB?
Yeah, there's nothing good about them. They're like completely nondescript, like cookie cutter uniforms, and there's so much to work with the colors and the Falcon. They're a complete miss.
Yeah, they messed it up because they had the potential to have a really badass uniform, and they just, It wasn't cooler than the old uniforms, really. And they're not dynamic. They're not old school. They're neither one. What did we think about the Buccaneers going back to essentially what the uniforms were during the Super Bowl days of the Warren Sapp years, but just with the oversized pirate ship? I, by and large, liked the way that Brady and the Bucs looked yesterday. Mraz?
Perfect. That's what I'll leave it at that. I thought they were perfect yesterday, the Bucs.
Bogus?
Yeah, same thing.
Okay. So we're in lockstep with the uniform changes. When we come back here on the show, the Dallas Cowboys come up with another loss, with another underwhelming offensive effort. Wasn't Mike McCarthy supposed to fix this? We'll get to it next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.